Well, question to you. How many of you believe that you have experienced at least one miracle in your life? Good. And the rest of you might have experienced it, might not have perceived it. Or, well, you know, Christianity is 2,000 years old religion. And this season comes and you get to probably hear the same message pretty much in all churches. And why is it somehow still, there is something that still touches our heart? There's something about that. Well, some atheists might argue that it's because you people are making it important. More people believe in the same thing, the thing may become more real. And even, like, if you go to certain places in this world, on Earth, they still believe that the ghosts are actually walking in their village. And if you go to those villages, you get to meet at least half of the people telling you that, oh yeah, I saw a ghost. Once upon a time ago, I was living in this small little village, and they were all talking about this, some kind of spiritual figure. We call it dokgaebi in Korean word. It's kind of tricky spiritual beings living in mountains. And what they do is they appear to you, especially when you're drunk. You have to be drunk. And you're alone. And passing through this mountain passage, there may appear a strange being, and they will ask you to wrestle. If you win, you may get a reward. If you lose, you may get in a serious trouble. And my point is, living in that small little village, which only had like 20 houses total, at least 10 to 15, almost 15 adult men were telling me that they have met it. I'm like, really? So, it's Advent season, and today's topic is John the Baptizer. John, what a name. God gave this name. His father did not believe the message that his mother, Elizabeth, received from angel. So, because of that, he was actually punished. That he couldn't speak for 9 months. He was muted because he spoke the word of disbelief. Why was it so necessary, is my question to you. And among four Gospels, only Luke talk about all these stories. The other three just mentioned that there was a guy named John who started to baptize people. You know, living in the wilderness, wearing this very strange way, eating locust and honey, wild honey. But in Luke, somehow there's a full scale of explanation about it. And names of his parents, mother's name is Elizabeth, or in close to be Hebrew, Elizabeth. Meaning God, oath. God's oath, oath of God, God promises. And Zacharias, his name means remembered of Jehovah. Or Jehovah remembers. It almost sounds like he's the Messiah, isn't it? But he's not. So why was it so important to be born in this way? So I'll let you think about that one for a moment. And this is my first talk. As I was doing this research about today's topic, I literally wanted to write a book about it. There's so much that kind of stimulates my heart, and there's so many aspects that I get to see and quite inspired by in this small incident written in this book. I'm reading books from written by atheists, scientists, pure scientists, philosophers to evangelicals, fundamentalists, Mormons, Buddhists, Hinduists. I read their books basically to see how human perspective can be different about the same topic. And sometimes we get into the trouble to think and believe this Jesus phenomenon that, okay, God came to earth but only in one place and picked one specific race and somehow connected with them for a few thousands of years. Is it fair? I have to say no. I'm an Asian. My ancestors lived the other side of the globe. So if we are talking about the game of being fairness, well, how come we get to hear about it like 1700 years later? Yes, and how come only this book could claim that all the events, all the relationship happened between humans and the Creator contained? Only in this book? There are many questions in that context. And Advent is the season of celebrating, remembering the coming birth of baby Jesus. Now, if you kind of leave one moment all those dogmatic things and theological stuffs and let's say even biblical things, and kind of jump into think about, okay, let's say there was a creator or being, an intelligent being who initially initiated this creation. And I believe this being is not exactly material, or just, you know, it's not just material, not just spiritual. If you really look into these terms, also these are human definition. And nowadays, actually, definition of what is material and what is not is very heavily challenged. So this intelligent being wanted to have other intelligent being or beings. And question comes, why? If you read any scientific books, somehow I am reading from the scientists saying that somehow it is such an interesting observation you get to have studying the universe, that somehow this solar system is perfectly conditioned against so many odds that it can have life in its third planet. Anything could happen in like a millions different way. 1 million different way. We're not here. So if you believe this intelligent being wanted to have other intelligent beings, your question is actually why? And one answer I read from Swedenborg is because of its own nature, that something that is so pure and so good cannot be selfish, self-centered, or self-existing. It's impossible for pure, wise being to be just self-existing. So when did human beings created? One answer could be is that the concept of creation of human being might have started even before the Big Bang, if you really want to discuss about that. But now, taking this big picture into smaller and smaller, smaller one that happened on Earth, this creator who is intelligent being, who is pure love, wanted to connect to this intelligent beings, let's say, living on Earth, humans. How do you think this being could connect? In a way, that challenge is written in this book. If you read it in a different way, slightly different way, I'm an Asian. I started as a Buddhist. I became a Confucianist. I became a Taoist. I became an atheist for a while. And then I became a Swedenborgian Christian Taoist. And I read Bible, and I see somewhat different story. So it is, in a very simple way, it is a love story between this self-existing, intelligent, pure being to and with intelligent beings created in the image and likeness of this being. Now, why am I saying all of this in the beginning of Advent? Advent, coming of Christ, was something that was so alien that actually ancient people could not even have a slight way of conceptualizing it. The Creator, the divine itself, coming into human form was impossibility. And that divides actually our difference with our friend or brother sisters in Judaism and Islam. We basically believe in the same God, God of Abraham. But Christianity believes that divinity, God, Creator, can actually take human form, connect into human, and can be here present in our time, in our space, in our reality. That's what we believe. These days, this is not really an alien concept. But if you travel 2,000 years, and if you're a Jew, this is beyond imagination alien concept. There, that's why here comes the John. John was son of priest. He was living as a prophet, just like any Old Testament prophet used to live, wearing this garment, camel hair, I believe, and living in the wilderness, eating the locust and wild honey. And also born in such a way, like amazing way. And Isaiah prophesied about him as voice in the wilderness, preparing way. And this quotation kind of took me about 2 days of meditation and thinking. I really had fun with that. Why voice in the wilderness? Why not in the marketplace? Why not in the temple? If you really think about this kind of prophecy, you get to wonder, actually. Why does it have to be voiced in the wilderness where there's nobody? What's the point? Then if you get into other aspects of it, and it's not really talking about nature, is it? God is not really talking about nature. God is talking about state of being as humanity as a whole. Human mind has become like wilderness. Human mind became a void of life, love. And this love needs initiation, process, preparation to come near to this being. And John the Baptist was kind of standing as the voice. The voice, the sound is quite interesting thing. You listen to the music of the choir, you love music. And actually, music is kind of like almost same as mathematics in a way, but not like mathematics. Music actually goes into your heart or your emotions. It almost like vibrates your whole body and your brain and actually touches your emotions. So Swedenborg calls those voice as kind of connecting to the will, the deepest place that's possible. So this voice in the wilderness is the voice that is coming into our heart, calling us out, asking us to be prepared for what? The coming of love. You can call it many different ways. And I was trying to look at it in a many different ways. I came into all one conclusion. Advent, to me, is about somehow, I don't want to use that word, but let's use it, the materialization of pure love that has caused the beginning of us all. And that is the source of our life. And that has become real in our time, in our space, in our reality. And John the Baptizer is the connector. It's like, he's like modem in a way. So in this season, I encourage you to think about this. I'm sure you have at least one person who loved you or loves you. And you have at least one person whom you love. Look into that love you have. And try to feel what's really in it. We call this season a magical season. And it's just not the commercials, I believe. It's not just the music. It's not just movies or stories you hear. In my belief, there is something that is very subtle, essential, original that makes this life possible, and that is love. And when we all as a group focuses on that, it becomes more and more real to us all. And touching our hearts and fulfilling something in the deepest level possible. So, my blessings to you all at the beginning of Advent season. May love be with you, and may love be go out from you to others. Amen.